Want to know how China's electric car domination has been powered by policy? Well, let's talk about it. Hello and welcome to the Marketplace Morning Report, live from the BBC World Service. I'm Leanna Byrne. Good morning. First things first, China is now the world's biggest exporter of cars, and one reason for that is the increase in global demand for electric vehicles. According to an International Energy Agency report, China's first quarter exports of new energy vehicles, including electric cars, rose more than 90% compared to a year ago. So how did China become a global leader in the electric car industry? Chu Li is the managing director of Sino Auto Insights, which has offices in Beijing and Detroit. He says the Chinese government's introduction of generous subsidies for both EV manufacturers and consumers has really helped. Oh, and when he says ICE, that's just short for internal combustion engine.
The Chinese government, because it's much more long-term thinking as opposed to the United States, where we think in 4 and 8 year cycles, they wanted to become global leaders in battery cell technology and electric vehicles. In 2008, 2009, 2010, the foreign legacies have been dominating the Chinese market. So the Volkswagens, the General Motors, the Germans in particular, you know, the BMWs and the Audis. So they knew that they couldn't overtake the foreign legacies in China using the ICE or the petrol engine vehicles. So they saw this opportunity to build out these sectors and become world champions. And so in 2009, they created incentives, invested in research and development for battery cell technology, and created subsidies for the purchase of electric vehicles.
Lee says China's EV industry was also boosted by Tesla opening its Shanghai Gigafactory in 2018 and the Chinese government introducing new electric vehicle targets for all automakers. He says this created a thriving market for EV startups in China.
The Chinese have this saying or kind of this philosophy called the catfish effect. If it's a bunch of fish in a pond that get fat, dumb, and lazy, they throw a catfish in the pond and it strengthens all of the fish. And that's what's happened with the Chinese market, because originally the Chinese EV makers were just doing okay. But now if you look at a BYD or a NIO, they're really, really strong contenders. NIO specifically has entered the European market, the premium segment, and is poised to disrupt the ABB, or what we call Audi, Beamer, Benz.
Chu Li from Sino Auto Insights there. Now, let's do the numbers. Oil prices up by 0.4%, with markets feeling better about these talks on raising the US's debt ceiling. And on the same theme, the oil giant Shell has its AGM later today, and it's set to be a tense one. Some shareholders are now demanding faster action on the company's climate change goals. Last year, Thailand legalized the cultivation and consumption of marijuana, setting off a boom in cannabis-related businesses. But that could all be up in the air after the country held elections a few weeks ago. Just yesterday, a new coalition set out its priorities. One of them was fresh cannabis laws. The BBC's Jonathan Head was in Bangkok before the election and spoke to those involved in the industry.
Yet another marijuana dispensary opens in Bangkok. There are already several hundred in this city, only 10 months after it was fully legalised. A weed bonanza which has stunned those accustomed to the uncompromisingly punitive approach to narcotics that we used to see in Thailand.
Hey! Welcome to Amsterdam on steroids.
This is the man who's in large part responsible for transforming the official view of cannabis here.
This is what a legal, responsible cannabis store should look like.
Entrepreneur Tom Crucipon says he saw how big the business was becoming in the United States, and he persuaded the man who's now Thailand's health minister to adopt legalization as a central plank of his party's manifesto at the last election.
You know, people misunderstand. People think that cannabis is just about getting high. It's a culture.
It's also about business. That's the reason Tom has opened a branch of the well-known US cannabis chain Cookies in Bangkok.
You have a market of 66 million people, but then the tourists. Add that on, you're going to have a few billion-dollar companies here, I guarantee it.
Kitty Chopaka is a veteran of the cannabis scene in Thailand and a long-standing campaigner for legalization.
A lot of people don't know what is legal. I want it regulated because there's no rules right now. But at the same time, I've come to terms with that this is how it's going to be done because this is Thailand, you know, with all the potential for everything to kind of fall apart. But without it, this wouldn't happen.
The reason there are no rules is that Thailand's parliament has failed to pass them. And that's because many MPs oppose the new policy, some out of genuine concern over public health risks, others more out of political opportunism. Those who've invested in Thailand's marijuana gold rush, like Tom Krusapon, also recognise that without at least some regulations, there's a risk of a backlash.
You should have a license to be able to dispense cannabis. What we don't want to do, we don't want to kill the golden goose. And I think if this free-for-all continues, the golden goose will die.
Right now, Thailand has one of the most liberal cannabis regimes anywhere in the world. But no one is sure where this brave, somewhat hazy new world will be next year.
The BBC's Jonathan Head reporting. And finally, good news for bad typers. WhatsApp says users now have the ability to edit their messages. That'll roll out globally in the coming weeks. And did you know? It counts India as its largest market with 487 million users. That's a lot. And that's it from the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Leanna Byrne, and thanks for listening.